It's the TSW Toy Box Podcast from Talk Star Wars. Each month, collect a brand new show, each released separately, featuring three hosts with movable arms and legs. Mark.
The Supreme Master, the Emperor.
Jeremy.
And he's got a lightsaber.
And moderated by Rob.
There's a trash monster.
It's the TSW Toy Box from Talk Star Wars.
Now I know the Force is with us.
Hello and welcome to the TSW Toy Box Podcast from Talk Star Wars. I'm your host Rob, and I'm joined as always by Mark.
Hello.
And Jeremy.
Hello.
Hello, guys. How are you guys doing? You good?
Fantastic.
Excellent. Mark, you sound fantastic. Have you been you've been tinkering with your kit, haven't you?
Oh yes. Bought myself a Mac.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. You sound clear as crystal from my
side.
Yeah, my
microphone's plugged in this time.
Yeah, that also helps a lot. Right, so we're going to jump straight into our main piece for this episode. So we were lucky enough to speak to one of the collecting gurus. And I mean, I do not mince words when I say this. It is, you know, you're about to hear quite how much this dude knows. So there's a guy named Jason Smith, who's kind of colloquially known as Mr. Palatoy. And what we are about to play for you is an interview where we talk to him about his collection, and we ask him all sorts of cool questions, and the answers he gives are nothing short of incredible. So enjoy that, which is coming now. All right, so this is Rob. I'm joined by Mark and Jeremy, as is the customary, but also we have a special guest with us. So joining us on the line is Jason Smith. Hello, Jason.
Hi, how you doing?
That's good. Thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad.
Excellent, excellent. So Jason is no doubt familiar to those prevalent in the toy collecting community, but we're going to, for those who aren't familiar, we're going to go into a few kind of, have a bit of a chat, ask a few questions, get a few answers, hopefully. And those who aren't familiar will know by the end, and those who already are will know even more. That's the goal. So, Jason, how's your weekend been so far, first of all?
All right. I've been quite a lazy weekend, but nice and relaxed.
Yeah, that's always nice. So who wants to kick us off?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
Hi, Jason.
Hi there.
Do you want to tell us about your collection?
Sure. I kind of consider myself to be quite a new collector, though I've been collecting for 10 years now. And I guess with newer collectors coming along, I'm kind of viewed as maybe one of the older collectors now. But I had the figures when I was a kid. So I was about 7 or 8 when Star Wars came out. So I got the whole build up.
Yeah, same as me. Yeah.
Star Wars coming out in the UK. I lived in the very north of Scotland, so it was very hard to get any of the action figures. So when we used to visit our relatives down in the Nottingham area, which we used to do about twice a year, that's when I got to buy Star Wars figures. So I had the first 12 and the Landspeeder.
Wow.
Managed to collect all of those, and then the next 8 came out, and I kind of went, oh, they're far too difficult for me to get in the north of Scotland. And I got a mate who used to go up the road and play at his house, and he had everything. So I kind of concentrated on action at that point. Fast forward to 10 years ago, and my partner was basically saying, oh yeah, she bought me this modern Yoda for Christmas and said, oh, I know you like Star Wars. And I said, oh, I've got all the original figures, got them all out, all still there. Of course, Leia had lost a blaster, and I was like, oh, I've lost my Leia blaster, what am I going to do about that? I had a little look on eBay, and you can buy figures and weapons and stuff. So I bought another Leia and a blaster, and I guess 10 years ago I must have been paying about, you know, £6 or £7 for a Leia with a blaster back then.
Crack it.
Not like it is now, but anyway, so I got that, got my blaster at this point, but then I've got a spare Leia, so I'm like, oh, what am I gonna do with this Leia? So I sold the Leia, then I just thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I just got those next 8 figures? So I started buying them. And within a month, I had all the boxed vehicles turning up. I bought my first Mark, and it was going nuts at that point. So that's when I got back into collecting. I kind of started off getting the first first 20 Power Toy mint on card.
Wow.
Which I did within about a year and a half or 2 years. I mean, that's at prices of maybe a tenth what they are now. And even then, I thought that was expensive. and then I moved into kind of card backs at that point. I decided I wasn't going to try and get all the Power Toy mint on cards because even then, I was a long way behind Gary Smith, who's another Power Toy mint on card collector.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, well, rather than trying to just follow behind Gary, I'll do something slightly different, which was basically trying to get every single Power Toy card and every figure combination, you know, regardless of how minor it is. So I've been doing that for 10 years. Right. I then kind of decided that I wanted to have some really nice mint on cards, and I thought, oh, Afra, they grade cards. I'll get 90s. So right. I had a run of about 16 or 17 Afra 90 Power of the Return of the Jedi cards.
Blimey.
Yeah, which I don't have anymore. I got rid of some of those. We can go into why I got rid of those in a bit, but I had that. I started a focus. So I think on Rebel Scum at the time, there was a focus collector's thread, and there were maybe two or three figures that nobody had done a focus on.
All right.
And two was one of those. I thought, well, no one's done a 2-1-B focus. I'll do one of those. So I started a 2-1-B focus. It's kind of all production stuff. I don't really have any pre-production stuff. I think I've got a Revenge of the Jedi proof card, but the rest of it is mostly like a complete Kenner run and Palatoy run and most of the common foreign ones, bar the, I think there's a Spanish POX with a sideways card back on the back with all the figures, which there's one known mock of. That came up, was it start of this year or last year? It was 8,000 euros, which was beyond my price range. So obviously I'd love one of those. I've also got a kind of almost full run of Palatoy, open Palatoy vehicles and stuff like that. Recently I've been collecting Letraset stationery and the Helix stuff, because I had some of that when I was a kid as well. So I've got a few bits that I still have from my childhood.
I saw your Death Star.
Yeah, and I got a Death Star pencil sharpener, which I managed to get
featured on
the BBC News, which was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that's about it. Full set of loose figures. I think that covers most of the stuff I've got now. So I've got a loft room, which started out where there was like a little corner of it was Star Wars, and then a third of it was Star Wars, and a half of it was Star Wars, and now it's completely Star Wars. The last thing I had to do was I had a display cabinet which had every pint glass from every Camera Beer Festival, called the Great British Beer Festival. I had every beer glass since 1991, so I had to pack all those away to make space for a loose figure display. So it was a happy and sad occasion at the same time. The beer went away, but then there was more space for Star Wars. So.
Yeah, prioritise these things.
Yeah, I think if you're going to give up space for beer glasses, it's got to be for Star Wars. Anything else is going to feel... isn't going to feel right.
Yeah, I was a bit conflicted. I mean, the other thing I did recently as well, with going to all the celebration events, both here in Europe and in America, the amount of, it's called swag, which is all the collector made stuff to swap. Like, it started out with badges, but people are doing tea towels and all kinds of things now. So I did have a display which had all my old ZX Spectrum stuff in there, which was a couple of bookcases. And I had to take all that out just to get all the swag in for the last couple of years. So, and I have, what I like doing is I like going there with all the lanyards on, with all the badges on, and seeing how many lanyards I can fill. So I think at Celebration Europe, which is the first one in 2007, I filled half a lanyard. Then Celebration Europe 2, I filled two lanyards. And I went to Celebration 7 and filled seven lanyards. Celebration Europe 3, I filled 5. And then at the last one, Celebration 8, I did a dozen.
Crikey. So,
I have an FX lightsaber that sits on top of an old TV, and it's like one of these net curtains. So they all hang off that, and it's just like this big mass net curtain of badges there, which is quite nice. Wow.
That's impressive, I have to say.
I should really try and put them all on and see if I can stand up. There must be
like a nerd missing about, tea.
About 30 of them. Given the numbers I was going through, I must have about 30 of them now, full of badges.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jeremy's right. You do. It sounds like a Mr. T jewelry collection for nerds. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Nice. So how long have you... So you've been a collector for... I mean, how long, kind of, would you say,
I started back collecting in 2006, I think it was, when I came back. And so it's just been just over 10 years now.
Wow. Considering you've got the nickname Mr. Palitoy... according to Mark, anyway, this is my source. It seems like, you know, 10 years seems relatively quick, considering you have a nickname within the collecting community.
Well, it's one you pick yourself. It's like back then it was Rebel Scum. There was the Imperial Outpost. Mm-hmm. And I think SWF UK came along after that. And it's just I picked Mr. Palitoy as just being the login on all of them. So.
Oh, okay. So it's more of a handle within the community.
Yeah, I mean, you can tend to use the handle when you're on forums, and then when you're on Facebook, I'm just Jason Smith. So,
cool. Okay. So what? I know it's tough because it's going to be like choosing between your children. But if you had to pick a favorite item or a favorite few items, what do you think those would be most likely to be?
Favorite few items. So when I was at the original Celebration, I picked up, basically I was after, that's when I was trying to collect the first 12 Palitoy Mint on Card, and I had like the 7 easiest ones, and somebody posted a full set for sale individually at the point where most of the Americans were midway over the Atlantic. So the day before the first Celebration Europe, I went off and I spent, they were, I mean, even at those days, they were dirt cheap prices. I think I got 4 of the rarest ones for about £2,000. So those are quite favorite. My first 12 Palitoy Mint on Card, because obviously those are the ones that I had when I was a kid. Mm. I also picked up a shop sticker that says the toys of the film are here. And you know, there's a few of these kicking around, and there's a load more fakes. But that's one of my favourite items, because it's kind of quite a nice little sign that you can kind of use as a centerpiece for a little display you might want to do. My the Death Star pencil sharpener is quite a new thing that I've got, which is quite a favourite of mine. And I think in terms of other Mint on Card, it's not Mint on Card, it's a resale, but I've got a Palitoy vinyl Cape Jawa resale. So this was before, this was about 2 or 3, maybe 4 years before AFA graded the one that was graded about, you know, three odd years ago now. And it was an opened example. So I acquired that, and it was all stuck down with sellotape, and it looked quite messy. So I peeled all the sellotape off and stuck the whole thing back together, and that's one of the pieces I took into the BBC as well. So,
yeah. Have you got a favourite item?
Well,
the four rare ones that you've got. What are they, and which is your favourite? Got to be a favourite.
Well, those are the ones which I would say. You know, that was half a dozen of the ones which I would say are my favourite. My favourite item. I'm a big fan of that, the shop sticker. I quite like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're quite hard to get as well. So.
Right. I'm going to ask you a question now.
Yeah.
Tell us about Toy Tony.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, it's one of those things. It's like anything that you wanted to know about Toy Tony, but we're afraid to ask.
we're afraid of nothing.
So, I mean, do you just want the background so people understand who he is and what he did?
Yeah, give us
Yeah, so the background is the Panel Toy Factory finally closed in about 1987, and there was a lot of bits and bobs that were left over. A guy called Arthur Daly acquired the stuff that was in the Panel Toy Factory as a kind of job lot, and a chunk of it was sold to Toy Tony, and the chunk that he got was 12,000 unused Palatoy German and Clipper card backs, a bunch of figures, and a couple of boxes of bubbles. That was principally what he got. Yeah. So he kind of got all these at the end of the late 80s, and basically he decided at the time, rather than trying to sell the unused card backs, it was more profitable for him to card them up and sell them as mint on cards. So he started doing that in the early 90s and did that all the way up until it finally came out that he was doing this in December 2013, which is about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, there's thousands of them out there. So I think AFA have graded a couple of thousand. UKG, probably at least 500, I would think. 500 to 1,000, maybe. And, I mean, I think they've said that they've only got a handful, but I saw one guy on eBay who was trying to sell 100.
Wow.
One go. So they were all snow troopers. So, he started out the very earliest ones can be found with iron marks on them, and bubbles are melted, and there's a little the top of the iron's got a point on it, and you can see the little V impression between the double stem bubbles on the earlier ones. So you can see that on some of the 65 back snow troopers. There's also a load of snow troopers where the bubbles are on upside down. Because the bubble was too small and it was a single stem bubble, so the head, the snow trooper, goes in the top of the single stem. The bubbles are upside down. I think the other thing that's interesting is at the point at which that job lot of 12,000 card backs was sold, there were also some other lots of just Boba Fett and just snow troopers, where there were several hundred of these things that were sold as well. And I think for the Boba Fett, they were all carded up really badly, and immediately all the bubbles fell off. So that's why you kind of find a lot of 45 Fett card backs where there's not much of a bubble impression. It's because it's one of the ones where all the bubbles fell off. Mm. So, yes, it's I still consider that to be, you know, the largest fraud in the industry. I think that's still bigger monetary wise than the latest one with the guy who was nicking stuff from Philip Wise and Steve Sansweet, though they've not actually said what the dollar amount is on that. But and Tony was doing his for, you know, 20 odd 30 odd years. Yeah. I conservatively estimated that he must have carded half of his cards at least. So, you know, that's, you know, say 6,000 cards at, you know, £100 a piece.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, there's £500,000 right there, you know. So.
Yes, indeed.
He's still on eBay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, what happened after he was outed was all of the... He had his own website where he was selling mint on cards, and basically anything that he was making himself, he took off there, and he stopped selling it on eBay. And he stopped. He's also got a little booth in a place called Snooper's Paradise, which is a little flea market in Brighton where he lives. And I know that one. Yeah, as far as I'm aware, he hasn't sold any of the stuff that he home sealed to anyone.
Okay.
since he was discovered, basically. I mean, all the stuff that he sells now is, I mean, because it's not, as well as having that particular stock, he also had other stock of stuff. He had a lot of tri-logo mint on cards, which are genuine. He had Kenner, he had Power of the Force. He had quite a lot of the Meccano Square Card Jawas. There were loads of those kicking around the UK. So, I mean, that's one thing to bear in mind is not everything that he's got is fake. But on the other side of the coin, I would not buy anything from him through choice, you know, just because of what he's done to the hobby. So I would just, you know, it's like if you're getting something and you've got the choice of buying it from him.
Yeah.
Or just waiting for it to come up elsewhere, I'll just wait because, you know, he's not deserving of the business.
No, I totally agree with that.
Being strange people that we are, and people collect, you know, fake ones from Turkey and things like that, is there any kind of market for his deliberate fake one, you know, the upside down?
The answer is...
Do people actually go, oh, I want one of them?
Yes, people do. It's a lot of people. I think there was an initial period where there was a big rejection of them, where people were saying, oh, this is terrible. We've got to find out which ones these are, and they've all got to be opened immediately. But it's one of those things. What's done is done. They've been put together now.
Mm.
For me, the important thing was rather than, you know, opening all the ones that have been made, it's been able to identify which ones are his just by looking at them. So there's no need to take it and mark it in invisible ink or write on the back of it. You can just look at it and you'll know whether it's his or not. So one of the things I've done on my online Power Toy Carback Guide is basically for there's 23 cards that he had out of all the Power Toy cards. So I've basically, for all of those, I've basically looked at all the different bubble combinations, looked at them in detail and said, look, here are the genuine ones, here are the fake ones, this is how you tell them apart. And I've also done that with the German and Clipper ones as well. So I've put German and Clipper cards on my Power Toy Guide now, just so that all the information's in one place.
Awesome. So this card back guide, tell us more about that.
Yeah, so there was an existing cardback guide that was out there when I started collecting in 2006, made by a guy called John Ford, who's another one of the old school Power Toy collectors. And when I came on the scene, it hadn't been updated in about a year, and then another year went by and nothing changed, and it became apparent that John had kind of lost interest in the hobby as a whole. And in updating this website, so I thought, well, it would be good just to be, because we were still finding lots of new examples on the Matrix which weren't listed already. I thought it'll be nice just to have a more up to date Matrix. So what I did is I took the original Matrix, leaving all the numbering the same, and where new card variations on the back of the card were apparent, rather than adding new numbers and having to renumber them all, I just basically called them sub variations. So you'd end up with, so you'd have a card that was say a 65C, and then I would do, if there was another variation, I'd say, well, I might say there's a 65CD or something like that, just to say what the variation was.
Right. Cool. So how long have you been doing that?
Well, I think I started, let me have a look when I can tell you exactly when the guide started. It started in October 2007.
Oh, wow. So
that's been going almost 10 years now. Yeah, so
most of your collecting career.
Yeah. So the Matrix has got 603 different figure card back combinations now. And I consider a variation anything on the card where there's a difference in the print.
Okay.
So if there's a factory code on it, and there's, you know, you know, for certain cards you have factory codes to say that they were made in various different Hong Kong factories where they just add a couple of little letters on the card or maybe a little S somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's a variation for me, and that's a new entry on the Matrix.
Oh. Right.
So there's a matrix for that, and then for each of the main variations, there's a page describing the card, all the different stickers you might get on that card, and types of bubbles that would appear on the card. If it's a variation with a Toy Tony on it, then there'll be a big breakdown of all the cards, which are Tonys and which ones are Tonys and which ones aren't. And then I've added more matrices recently. There's one for Empire Strikes Back, German and Clipper cards, which were also made in the Power Toy factory at the same time as the Offerless 45B Empire Strikes Back card was made. Right. So there's a matrix for that. And then more recently, there's a matrix for Kenner cards, which were imported from America, where they put Palatoy stickers on the back of the card, the 48 backs.
All right.
I've got a matrix for all the stickers now. Then there's a matrix, which is basically, I call the Toy Tony matrix, which is just a matrix of all the different cards that he had.
Yeah.
And the number of cards he had for each. So if you think is a particular card a Toy Tony, you can look on the guide, see if it's on there, and see how many cards he had. And obviously, if it's one where he's got hundreds of cards and there's hundreds out there, then there's a good chance whatever card you're looking at is probably going to be one of his. So other things I've added to that recently. A couple of years ago, I started with this idea that I was going to turn it into a full blown Palatoy guide, where I was basically going to document all of the vehicles, spaceships, playsets, diecast figures, stuff like that. And I did that for all the Star Wars ones, but then I kind of stopped while I was figuring out, I've got a few more bits and bobs I need to get myself before I can go any further. But essentially, I need to document that for the Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and maybe the Trilogo as well. And that will add maybe another 30, 40 pages to the guide.
Wow.
And that would be, at that point, it would be a full guide for anything Star Wars Palatoy. You'd then be able to look on the guide and get an idea of what it would be. So that's a kind of ongoing project, which I haven't really addressed recently, but you know, in the long term, I'd hope to fill all that out as well.
Nice. So you were interviewed on May the 4th for the BBC.
Yeah, that was an interesting experience. I've kind of done a couple of things with the BBC previously. I've done things with outside of Star Wars with the BBC, where I've kind of been filmed for stuff. And I was filmed a few years ago for a piece by Fake Britain on Toy Tony. So I was the Toy Tony expert, and they came round my house and filmed up in my loft room. That was quite an interesting experience because they were coming round on the Monday, and I was there Sunday night thinking, you know, when you do a limelight, you kind of set things up and you can take nice photos, and you might post it, and you know, 50 people might look at it, you might get 5 replies. And I was thinking, I'm doing a limelight on my whole collection room here. I've got no idea where he's going to point the camera, and it's going to be seen by millions. And my room's a complete mess. So I spent the Sunday just running around thinking, right, this room's kind of half empty. What am I going to do? So I got all my boxed vehicles and I just put the iconic vehicles that everybody knows. So, you know, I was putting Millennium Falcons out, nice big AT-ATs and stuff. And I've still got most of that display up because it actually looks quite nice. And then I only had a couple of lanyards with badges on it. And I thought, what I'll do is I'll put them both ends of the bookcase with all the badges on show, and then people will be able to spot all the badges. And they did. So all the badges that you can see in the video, people have gone, that's my badge, which was kind of quite nice. So, yes, I was on the BBC kind of being their expert for spotting Toy Tonys a couple of years ago. So basically on May the 3rd, late afternoon, I got a call basically saying, can you come in tomorrow and talk about Star Wars on our business program called GMT? We want to talk about Star Wars as an investment. And as with a lot of these things for the TV, you get very short notice, you know. And I was just like, oh, where is it? It's in central London. I'm in London. So I was like, I'll do it. So what I had to do was take in a small display of stuff for people to be able to look at. So I took some of the nicer pieces that I think we've already spoke about. So I took my shop sticker, some of my first 12 figures, the Helix Death Star pencil sharpener, my Powertoy VCJ, just so after we talked about this live bit about investment, I could then kind of say, oh, here's some stuff that you might have in your loft which could be valuable if you want to, you know, so people can go and look in the loft for stuff. But it's funny doing a live interview because you only get one take at it, so there's no retakes. But it didn't really feel that nerve-wracking because when you go in your film, you're in a studio and there's the interviewer, there's you. You're vaguely aware there's a couple of guys behind the cameras, but they're big, massive cameras. You can't really see them, and you can't really see anyone else. So I think if it had been in a studio where there was an audience of even 40 or 50 people, it would have been more kind of like, oh, everyone's looking at you. But it's just like having a chat with someone. So it wasn't as nerve-wracking as I thought it was going to be. But then when you're doing the actual interview, I'd kind of like talk to the interviewer before about what we were going to cover, and we'd kind of agreed a kind of set of questions we were going to do. As it turned out, because in that particular morning, Prince Philip had retired rather than passing away, it still made an awful lot of the news. So basically, rather than cancelling any of the interviews they had that day, I think they just crushed them all down. So the whole interview was really compressed. And a lot of people said, oh, this interview was very rude and he was interrupting you all the time. And the thing is, I'll just keep talking. If you give me a subject, I'll just keep talking and talking and talking. And obviously, this guy's going, right, we've got to cover this, that, and the other thing. So he just kind of rattled through it. And when I was setting up the display, they said, all right, you're going to have a couple of minutes to set this display up. I've been going about 30 seconds. And the lady, the producer lady, ran over and said, right, we're going live again from the ad break, and started taking off what I hadn't set up. And
wow.
Some of the things she was taking off were things that I was going to talk about. So I was going away with my cloth tape jar one. I was like, I've got to talk about that. So I kind of grabbed that off her. It was all a bit of a rush. And then, we've got the little display and we talked about which bits were valuable, and it all turned out all right. I mean, the other thing is you've got to, it's a non-Star Wars, non-collecting audience. You've got to kind of engage at the level where you're going to get something out of it. You've got to make sure you don't say anything that they're not going to understand particularly. But then you've also got to say something that's kind of for the vintage community. And you've got to say the right kind of things that, so you're not going to say anything that's going to alienate the community particularly. So when they were talking, he was asking me about Star Wars as an investment. I'd really kind of thought about what I would say about that, because obviously you just want to go, yeah, I'm in it for the money, you know. It was an interesting experience, though. I'd recommend it if you get the offer. Just say yes and.
Yeah, it's interesting you say about the interview having been truncated down, because one of our notes here was, you know, they didn't really seem to give you a lot of time to respond to things. So it's interesting to know why that is.
It was all very compressed. And I think it's a very kind of soundbitey kind of you know, when they're doing their interviews, they've got to hit their points, get their sound bites and on to the next thing. So
awesome. Okay. So do you think that collecting has become more generally accepted in society, or do you think it's still seen as a bit of an oddity?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think it goes twofold with the rise in geekdom as well. I mean, I've seen that I as well as collecting vintage Star Wars, I also do cosplay at Comic Cons, and
I've seen those. Yeah,
that's grown massively in the last 10 years as well, and a lot of it is down to the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory kind of mainstream geekdom style. And that just that one program has kind of had a kind of balloon effect that's kind of made it more mainstream everywhere. So, yes, it has. And you know, it used to be the case when I've also got a Facebook group, which I started, it'll be 10 years ago last August. And you can either, when you're on Facebook, you can either have a group, you can either have it open or closed. And if it's a closed group, that means you join the group, you type a message into the group, nobody else sees it. Whereas if it's an open group, you'll post and all your friends who don't collect Star Wars can see your message on their feed. So when I started the group, I used to get loads and loads of requests from people saying, can you please make it a closed group because all my friends are taking the piss because I collect. And I haven't had a request to make the group closed in about 2 or 3 years there. So I think what happens now is either people are more accepting of it. I think what a lot of people who don't want people to know that they collect, they make separate profiles now.
Oh, okay. Wow, it seems extreme from my point of view, I guess. But then I suppose maybe the circles I run in are more accepting of that sort of stuff generally.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've kind of got, so you have different circles of friends, and if I think my particular Facebook profile, the circle of friends is there's a lot of Star Wars in it. So if you just look at my wall, three quarters of it is just vintage Star Wars now, with a little bit of non-Star Wars thrown in every now and again. But I mean, it reflects what I do, so I don't really, I don't feel the need to compartmentalize things and say, well, it's got to be in this box. It's just, it's who I am and what I do. So
yeah, and you're Mr. Palatoy after all, so you know, you have a certain reputation to live up to. Hey guys, any other thoughts on?
There's one last thing from me. Is there anything you're actually looking for?
Oh, I'm looking for all kinds of pieces. I'm looking for the Helix pencil drawing set, which is a kind of half circle shaped package with a Star Destroyer on the front, which is one of the last of the Helix pieces that I'm kind of looking for at the moment. I'm always looking for foreign card backs. I mean, I've kind of got lists of cards that I've been after for years, and some of them don't come up very often. What other kind of things am I trying to do? I'm trying to put together a loose run of diecast chips at the moment because I've got a set of card backs, and some of them came with the vehicles. So I'm kind of going, well, maybe I'll try and put a set of the vehicles together. So I've only got a couple at the moment. So that's the thing is,
try and get a tie bomber.
You find with a lot of focuses, there's the kind of easy bit that you can get to, and then once you've got all that, it's very difficult to add anything to it. So I'm kind of always looking for new things to kind of collect. So my new thing in the last year or so was the Letra set and the Helix stuff. So I've got quite a lot of that in the last year. So the diecast is just, it's a new thing for me. So
cool.
Do you have any advice for new started for new collectors?
What advice would you give them? I was going to say, find something cheaper to collect. I mean, no, it's it depends. If you've got loads and loads of money, then buy all the nice mint on cards you want. Don't pay too much for them. If you've got more of a budget, I decided I would collect card backs because those are cheaper. But card back, you can pay three figures for a card back easily these days if it's not one of the common Kenner or Palatoy ones. So those are getting more expensive. Loose figures, with weapons they're going for three figures these days. Yep, so
certainly
are. It depends on your budget. I've seen a lot of mint on card collectors who aren't collecting mint on cards and are collecting card backs now because there are a lot of advantages to it. It's cheaper. They're easier to post. You don't have to worry about the bubbles falling off.
True.
You require a lot less space for them if you're just trying to store them. So
also true. Yeah. So maybe one of the advice pieces would be get into the new stuff instead and then hold on to that and hope it goes vintage in the same way.
Oh, I would never recommend anyone to collect modern because, it's anything modern, obviously, it's as a collectible, it's never going to be worth anything more than you pay for it. You know,
no, even, true.
You know, all the Phantom Menace stuff that came out in 1997, which is 20 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
it's worth pretty much what you bought it for in the shop. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of volume to it, and it all kind of looks, a lot of it looks samey, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see people's collection room, and it's full of modern, and it's just all the walls are covered in these things. And I think the advice I'd say, you know, go for quality over quantity, I think is always a good piece of advice. But
yeah.
then I'm trying to collect every single Power Toy card back there is. So
yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, joking aside, I think modern collecting has become a bit of a misnomer, to be honest. Because I mean, you know, these guys are more vintage. I'm more, you know, I tend to collect various different things, including Star Wars pop vinyls. And
yeah,
somebody asked me today, "Do you open them?" I said, "Of course."
Yeah, something like that. When I was at Celebration 8, I was at the Funko pop vinyl panel and. Mm-hmm. The lady giving the panel opened, you know, it was just a common pop and she got booze for doing that.
Wow.
But I think the thing is, the vintage stuff is rare, so it's harder to get. So for the modern stuff, they kind of do these exclusives and stuff to try and make something that's more desirable. And it's all about trying to get the exclusives. And I think the trouble with the Funko Pop vinyls is the exclusive is a sticker.
Yeah.
And in the presentation, the lady said, oh, well, you know, it's all important. You've got the exclusives and we got the sticker off this one and we stuck it on this other one. It's like, well, the minute they start making fake stickers, you know, that's the exclusives gone out the window. And probably a couple of weeks after Celebration, there's a list in there with all the different stickers you'd want, you know, just pick them up. So, yes, yeah. Word of caution on sticker exclusives there.
Yes, indeed. So vintage all the way for you.
Yeah, I mean, the Hasbro 40th are really nice, and I was just like, it'd be nice to have a set of those. But the minute I buy one, I've got to have a set, and then they'll have another set, and that's... You know, but you know, by the time you've got through all that's, you know, £500,000 you could spend on vintage. So,
yeah.
And then it's like, where do you put it? Because I can't, if I put it in my collection room, it's taking up space that proper vintage should be taking. So,
yeah.
I've never really kind of. I think if you've got kids and you know, modern collecting there is a great thing to do because obviously then your kids can play with them and open them and it's not such a big concern. So.
Yes, indeed. Cool. Any other questions, guys?
I'm done, I think. Fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, how about you, mate?
Just one, it's not Star Wars related. It's the your cosplay. Why Old Biff?
Why Old Biff? Before I did what I would call cosplay, I used to do, you know, I used to go to a lot, when I was younger, I used to go to a lot of parties where there'd be themed parties where you'd do fancy dress. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'd go into Smithies and you'd buy whatever the costume is and you'd turn up in that. And I don't consider that to be cosplay, or it's really rubbish cosplay because, you know, cosplay, it's all about being the character and acting the way the character does and making sure, you know, the costumes is as good as you can get. So, when I went to a New Year's Eve party called Blackheath to the Future, which was, it was Back to the Future themed. This was back in 2001, I think it was. And I went as Car Wash Biff. And my costume was a tracksuit that I had, which was blue. I had a blonde wig, which I kind of cut, and then I tried to put hair gel in it to flatten it out. And then I had a flannel, and I had some random trainers on, and that was my Car Wash Biff, and I thought I'd done really well. So obviously, having done cosplay for a couple of years, I saw the pictures of it and I looked at them. That is just awful. So I thought, I want to go back and I want to do that, and I want to do a proper version of it. So In the film, he wears he's got a green Adidas tracksuit in it. So I got the green Adidas tracksuit. I decided trying to do a wig, it was better for me just to grow my hair and then just hairspray it into the same kind of shape rather than trying to do a wig. And then he had there's an original, you know, there's a bottle of turtle wax that matches the turtle wax that he used. So that was my first biff. And then I went to the, because I'd done that, I was asked to go to a charity kind of dance for Back to the Future, where we had a big themed dance in a nightclub, and they wanted me to be Biff for the day. So as well as doing that Biff, they wanted me to be another Biff called Pleasure Paradise Biff, where he's in the alternate reality and he's got a dressing gown on and like lots of chunky jewelry. He looks a bit like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. So anyway, I did that Biff. And then I thought, oh, the other one that's really iconic that's not been done is old Biff, where he's basically, he's got these kind of granddad pants on it and a big red jumper, and he's got this cane that he's got. And I thought, well, if I can get that cane, then I can do that cosplay. It's one of those things where there's some cosplays where they have certain props which are quite central to the character. And if you don't have a good prop, it really kind of diminishes from the cosplay. So I thought, well, if I can get that cane, and there was one guy in had an Etsy shop in America who made this cane, and it looked really good. It was a big solid fist, which is what it's made up of, and it was like solid bronze and really nice. I thought, oh, I have one of those. But it was like sold out, not available for 6 months. And this is like a month before con season. So I'm like, what am I going to do? So I kind of sent him a mail and said, look, and you could see on his wall, people were posted and saying, I've ordered my cane. I've not got my cane. And he was kind of saying, oh, I'm having problems with the foundry. I can't get these things made quick enough. So I sent him this really cheeky message saying, look, I'm the guy who does Biff as a cosplay, and I sent him pictures of me doing car wash Biff and said, look, I know you've got problems like sourcing these things, but if you get a cancellation, send us one out, because I'm doing old Biff for the new season. So he came back immediately and said, yeah, I can send you one. So I got my cane, got the rest of the costume, and I think old Biff is the one I'm known for best now. So
right.
The actual actor who played Biff, who's always been there's certain people in the kind of cosplay signing kind of arena who have never done it because they've always been very down and said, oh, it's just selling out. And the guy Tom Wilson, who played Biff Tannen in the films, was one of these guys. Now, obviously, he's decided to cash in because he started doing cons now, but he'll sign Back to the Future stuff. And he's actually coming to London Film and Comic Con in July. So I've got to do my three main Biffs in 2 days at that. So
wow.
That's going to be a lot of fun. So I've got at least one photo booked with him. So, but yeah, it's really nice when you're doing a cosplay, if you can meet the guy who does your character, that's kind of like a special thing. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can imagine. That sounds great.
I've never really done Star Wars, and the reason I don't do Star Wars is because, in terms of screen accuracy, Star Wars is just like it. I mean, there's certain groups where they're kind of like very kind of, if you want to be in our group, you've got to be this accurate with your costumes. And Star Wars is just absolutely nuts for that. Plus, a lot of the costumes are masked, so you have to wear a mask. And I don't like wearing masked cosplays. And it was one of those things where it's just like, it's really going to ruin my celebration if I do Star Wars cosplay, because I'll be trying to do, when I'm at Celebration, I'm trying to do vintage all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was trying to do cosplay as well, it's just, there's too much to do. So I just thought, well, you know what, I'll do my cosplay, but I'm just never going to do Star Wars. So I've kind of stuck with that at the moment.
Cool. All right. Anything else from my esteemed colleagues?
No, that's it from me.
Okay.
Yeah,
great stuff.
I'm in awe from the sound of the collection.
It is rather awe-inspiring. Great stuff. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Jason. The opportunity now you have is to plug any social media or anything you want, basically. We give you the floor. And it's your opportunity to sort of, you know, hype your own social media. Obviously, we can do that in show notes for the show as well. The floor is yours.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess the two main things I have going is I've got my Palatoid Carback Guide, which is on www.freewebs.com/MrPalatoy. That's been going for 10 years. And also going for 10 years is my Star Wars Facebook group, which was the first vintage action figure collecting group that was out there. So that I set that up in August 2007. And the name of the group is the keywords that you would probably type in if you were looking for Star Wars on Facebook. So the name of the group is Vintage Star Wars Action Figures.
Vintage Star Wars Action Figures. Okay, nice and simple. Does what it says on the tin. We like that.
So that group's at 18,500 members now, so we're about 1,500 away from... But it's like all things. It's like groups, you know, you say you've got 8,500 members, about 18,000 of those are inactive. You know, it's just the churn factor for Facebook, just the way things are. So.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with it. Try not to sound too bitter when I say that as well.
So yeah, so when people are, oh, I've got this many members, it's how many active members you've got. And I think I've probably got less than a lot of the other groups now. Because I think it's one of those things where there's a lot of groups where there's a lot of active admins and they're always pushing stuff and kind of going, right, let's involve all of our readership. Whereas mine has always been very hands-off. So, you know, there's very little I do on it. People want to advertise. It was kind of like a gateway for people to kind of move on to better things. So initially when I set it up, all these people joined and I said, right, well, if you want to learn about Star Wars, you want to go to all these different forums. And there was a certain group of people came up and said, we don't want to do that. We want to do things on Facebook. So I just went, well, that's fine. We do it all here then. So, you know, and that was the kind of start of the mass move of stuff from forums to Facebook, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So would be any other bits and pieces like Twitter or any other kind? Or is that the way you spend
Those are my kind of two big things on the web, I would say.
Great. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you for your time today, Jason, again. And obviously, we will put the groups and the websites in the show notes so people can find them there.
Lovely.
Thank you again. Well, we warned you. There is a man who knows his stuff. Right, guys?
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we're very grateful to Jason for taking time out of his no doubt busy schedule to talk to us about his collection. And we look forward to, at some point in the not too distant future, having him on again. So as is, you know, we wouldn't be the Toy Box without talking a bit about our recent accumulations. So who wants to kick us off?
I'm happy to go for a change. I finally got my Greedo.
Yes.
Oh yes.
And my story behind my Greedo is that if you recall, I told you I'd sent a Snaggletooth off to somebody. I had a spare Snaggletooth and I'd sent it off to them. Well, they actually went out to Celebration in America. And while they were there, they knew that I needed a Greedo. They listened to the show, obviously. Mm-hmm. They found me a Greedo, and I've got a Greedo from the Celebration.
Fantastic.
So I'm pleased with that. He's a little gem. I've got all of the original 12 now, which I'm pleased about.
That's nice, isn't it? It just goes to show, boys and girls, what happens when you're nice to each other.
Exactly. I gave Mark a load at the Identities up in London, so I'm hoping he's going to give me something amazing in return.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get something back in return.
I got my Matt Keegan picture, and I couldn't be happy with that.
I got one of those too. I'm well made up with that.
They're pretty amazing. I'm very pleased with that. And the other things I've got have pretty much been Lego Buildables.
That's cool.
I've got a slight addiction to the Lego Buildables.
Yep. Have you seen the Biker Scout on the speeder bike?
No.
No.
Which
one is it? Oh, that is beautiful. I think it's about £50, but it's absolutely brilliant. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was so tempted to buy that.
I managed to get the figures that I don't know if you've seen Freddy building them.
Yeah,
I managed to get him. He's We filmed him building Bane's Malbus the other week.
Nice.
And we've got Chirrut in work, and Chirrut's a favourite from Rogue One. So I managed to get Chirrut. And I managed to get him for like $9.99 from Argos.
Nice.
And really cheap. And then we were at Sainsbury's the other day looking around because they to the election, the school was shut, so I had them for the day. We just thought we'd go out and about for the day. We went to have a look at the toys.
Mm-hmm.
And first one we saw was Finn. We found a Finn Lego buildable, and he was $9.99. I thought, oh, that's great, we'll get that. So we picked Finn up, and as we walked to the main aisle, we saw the big Darth Vader one they do.
Ooh.
But that was reduced to £14 or something. Everywhere I've seen it, it'd be $25. So Finn had to go back, I'm afraid. We couldn't afford both.
Shame.
So Darth Internet is going to be the next one he builds. Because he's saving Chewie way till last, because that's his favourite. And then we've looked at some of the other ones. I mean, it's going to be a bit of an addiction that I've got going on there. Because Freddie loved to build them, and I like to just have them stood in front of their box.
Nice.
For some reason. So,
but that's isn't it? That means the fates have aligned, as it were. You know, he likes building them, you like putting them there, built there.
Yeah, it's a win-win. So they all then go and live in the man cave, or one of the man caves. But, yeah.
One day, son, all this will be yours, but we're over my, get out of my cold, dead hands.
Literally, I've told him this.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I've managed to get a few things off of him, you know, recently as well.
Yeah.
Say to him, these would look nice. You think some Jedi mind tricks? He's only young.
Yeah,
these would look nice in my collection, wouldn't they? Or our collection, I'd tell him.
Oh,
I was like, oh yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
So
he's a smart kid, Freddie. So I met him.
Yeah, you have indeed. He loved on. He really loved that day going up there to see the identities. He was.
Oh, bless him.
He was saying, oh, it's great to meet all the other guides and really kind of trying to really being part of it. And I think, you know, with kids who are into Star Wars to the degree that he would be, and you know, I imagine that, because he said to me, I don't understand why people watch football. He said it's people kicking a ball around. Why don't it Star Wars?
Yeah.
So I think when he's that much into it, I think it's good to him to see the adults, not just me being his dad, because you know, I can't put a foot wrong, I mean, dad, but he can see that there are loads of people who are into the collecting and into the Star Wars, and they share that kind of passion. And it's, so for him, it's okay to collect Star Wars things, be they vintage or modern, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough, you know. You know, obviously I don't want to put words in his mouth and presume that he's saying that the best thing about it was meeting me. I'm going to assume that, but I don't want to overtly say that.
No, of course. He was very impressed with how tall you were.
Oh, well, I get that a lot.
Well, you see, it's used to me being his dad, and I'm sizable myself. So someone taller than me, you know,
it's impressive.
Yeah.
It's noticeable.
He's impressed with that.
Yeah, no, that's good. It was nice meeting him, you know. It was a very nice time.
Well, hopefully it will come to any of the meetups that we do. I still think we should do Skellig Michael one year. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking about possibly going up to Echo Live, right? In October. Echo Live.
My hotel room's booked.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, are you up for a trip
Like
this?
Yeah, I'm definitely up for that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sweet. So we'll figure it out between us. Yeah, we'll figure it out between us. So I can always book stuff up and, you know, we can square the cash up later.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it right now. I'm just being generally.
Yeah.
right. Not right this second. And obviously I'll get a separate rooms because I don't want to presume anything on your behalf. So Mark, how about you? Any new acquisitions?
I finally got my 40th anniversary R2-D2.
Excellent.
Mark series. I'm still looking for the R5-D4, but they are supposed to be coming out later on in the year over here.
Oh, are they not available in the UK yet? Then?
No, it's a Target exclusive, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to collect a full lot, but I just love the R2-D2. I didn't get the on the original Black Series line, so yeah. I've got a few of the original Black Series, but I thought I've got to get that one. Took me about a month, I ordered it on Amazon. It took about a month to get here.
Okay.
Have you used the Talk Star Wars link?
I did, yeah. All my Amazon purchases there. I also got Prune Face, which I needed for my love shrub.
Nice.
Yep.
I got that for Father's Day, which I know is next week, but I got it from the dog.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that is
good
very...
test.
Yeah, nice. So any other bits and pieces, or is that the main stuff?
I was in Scarborough this past week. I went to a few different toy shops, and I found a white Jeremy Corbett. No, sorry, Ben Kenobi.
So that was...
Which is a variant of the grey-haired one.
Yeah.
I got it for £5.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was...
There just isn't anything like that around here, is there, Rob?
Not really, mate. No, I mean, we're talking... Sci-Fi by the Sea is kind of the closest we've got.
A couple of weeks, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But funnily enough, actually, I'm about to... when we get to my purchases, I've got a little bit to drop on you, Jeremy.
Oh.
Yeah. Uber.
Maybe we're not getting separate rooms.
So I went today, at the time of recording, to a place in Sittingbourne. The leisure centre in Sittingbourne had a wargaming show.
Oh.
So what they also had was a bring and buy sale as well.
All right.
And within that, they did have some Star Wars figures. I have to preface this by saying that I didn't buy any Star Wars figures from this because they were all loose and they were mostly, it seemed, modern rather than vintage. So I didn't
let you off, you know,
yeah, I didn't. I would have liked to, but yeah, that didn't happen. But what I did buy, which is a little bit more collectible than most, is a pop vinyl of Ben Kenobi, which is a Smuggler's Bounty exclusive.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'll send you. In fact, I'll pop a picture in the show notes because I've got a picture. I just need to get hold of it. So while I'm doing that, I'll describe the thing. So basically, the Smuggler's Bounty one. There's an Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is a hooded Obi-Wan, which is just a sort of standard pop. What there also is like I say, in the Smuggler's Bounty, I forget which one it was. It's Ben Kenobi with his blue lightsaber. So it's like a, you know, he's sort of got his hood back. It's a bit like the sort of the Rebels look, rather than the hooded one with the lightsaber from A New Hope. There you go. I've just popped a picture of it in the show chat. So the reason I wouldn't normally go for pops at a thing like that, but
nice.
Yeah, it was £14, which I thought, considering that most of the other ones were sort of 10 or 11, I thought for a little extra, that seemed like quite a good purchase. And actually, friend of the show and TSW VIP, Joe Crouch, brackets, he ain't no slouch. Yeah, he picked one up a couple of weeks ago, and ever since he did, I've been sort of looking at it with a little bit of envy, going, you know what, if I ever see one of those at an affordable price, I'm most definitely going to get myself one. So I did, and I'm very pleased with it.
It's a pretty thing.
Yeah, so I touched on it in the chat with Jason, but I'm actually gonna I make a point of opening these things because they're not, to me, there's a little bit of a false economy in collectible items nowadays because stuff is made in such volume that it's not going to be collectible unless some of them are physically destroyed. And I don't mean in terms of like some weird, you know, authoritarian fun burning. I just mean people. You know, breaking them, or they get that. I mean, especially with bobbleheads, because the bobbleheads are, you know, they're probably quite easy to break. In fact, I know this because one of the ones on our shelf is broken. although weirdly enough, when I replaced it, it was for my other half, and she went, "Oh, excellent," and put it next to the broken one. I was like, well, "That was designed to take its place." So and now we have two.
Nice.
And for those wondering, it was Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy. But the little dancing, it was the bobblehead was, yeah, the bobblehead was sort of thematic because it was the dancing in the little plant pot from the end of the film. Yeah, it's rather adorable. As they all are, really.
Yeah, I did have one of those.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I was there with a few friends, including one of my friends had their baby daughter with them, who's sort of a few months old. very cute kid, and she kept sort of reaching out for the Ben Kenobi. I was like, oh, she's caught on well. She's not only up for collectibles, she likes Star Wars, she likes Ben Kenobi. What more can you ask for?
Well, hopefully she'll enjoy a movie one of these days about Ben Kenobi.
I think, yeah, maybe, you know. I think she's already been, exposed. I think she's already been introduced quite possibly to Star Wars generally.
Mm. Mark, what are your views on opening the Funkos?
Opening them is okay because you can put them back in the box.
Mm. You can, this is true.
It's not like a carded figure where once you open it, it's open. You can actually put it back in the box.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad. But no. The ones I have, the special edition ones,
yeah,
I've got them in protective cases.
Oh, I know the ones, yeah, the sort of thick plastic cases that they go in, the boxes go inside to keep them. Yeah, I mean, this box is already a touch scuffed, but I'm not going to, I'm not a big haggler when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Although, funnily enough, I've got a friend who's like that. I've talked before about how Forbidden Planet is near my work in London. So I go in there quite frequently, and occasionally I've been known in the past to pick up a few Pop Vinyls. Nowadays it's more HeroClix, but Pop Vinyls were most definitely part of the purchasing equation at one point, pretty much until I got the ones I wanted, really. And I was looking at the reduced aisle because there's a little selection of stuff that's been, casing damaged, or they do some of these sort of these collectible statues, the really nice ones.
Yeah.
The really nice ones.
Yeah.
Some of those can go reduced if, like, if something needs gluing back on, it's just dropped off or something's been snapped or something. They'll sort of quite heavily discount it because obviously it's not pristine anymore.
Yeah.
But it might be of interest to somebody who can repair it, So we're browsing this aisle and we see, I think it was Deadpool. It was a Pop Vinyl of something. I'm pretty sure it was Deadpool.
Yeah.
And it was reduced from, I think, £11 down to 5 or 6 because the box was damaged.
Yeah.
So for me, that's, that's a win-win.
Yeah.
Because I've got, I get a discounted version of something I'd have happily bought anyway, given having the cash in my wallet. And it's not going to make any difference to me because it's coming out of the box. And he turns around and says, oh, for me to buy it, they'd have to reduce it down to about £1. I was like, what? He's unbelievable. Like, my friend is weird. He's weird. He's tight in some realms and then stupidly frivolous in others. So he's very odd. He's a walking enigma, that dude. But he's an enjoyable company, certainly for a trip to Forbidden Planet, because he's Captain Enabler. So no, you should definitely buy it. Most common number of HeroClix purchases have been made with him in my group. Yeah. In fact, some of those have been purchased recently as well. I know it's not Star Wars, but I may, the tangential tenuous link is I may one day convert them into Star Wars pieces. There you go. Using small miniatures. But yeah, I've been I've been curating a few collectibles. So looking for stuff that specifically catches my fancy rather than going for the blind stuff.
Yeah,
I still do that, but not as much recently as usual. Recently, I've been a bit more choosy in specific characters and specific things. It's worked out quite well, I think.
Yeah.
So what's the big news in the Star Wars collectible world?
This is the story about the Rancho Obi-Wan that Jason mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So so sad. So for those who aren't familiar, Mark, do you want to give us a sort of rundown?
I'm not really on top of this at the moment. I'm going to do a toy run tomorrow about it.
Oh, cool.
I did a article on talkstarwars.co.uk. Yeah. But the gist of it is the guy that's worked and was a friend of Steve Sansweet at Rancho Obi-Wan has been taking things from Rancho Obi-Wan.
Yeah, so he's been half-inching stuff.
Rare items.
Yeah.
He's even been to Steve Sansweet's house and stolen things from there. It only came to light when a rare Boba Fett was being sold. I think it was on eBay. Steve Sansweet must have noticed it and thought, oh, I used to have one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the things he's stolen is like the Lego, you know, the Super Star Destroyer.
Oh, wow. Okay. Crikey.
I mean, that's massive. How
do you get that out except in pieces?
Unless you take a piece a day.
Yeah. But even then, surely you walk past and you go, hang on a minute. I could have sworn that was longer.
I don't understand. Unless it was taking pieces to an exhibition somewhere or...
Maybe,
diverting it to his house or something.
It didn't all find its way back after an exhibition or something.
Yeah, that's all I can think of how he did it.
Yeah, that's so unfortunate. Especially as, like, you know, it's a friend as well. It's not just, you know, obviously we're not going to sort of name names and stuff because it's all accusation and it's all hearsay.
Well,
to a point, it's all hearsay.
He has been charged. I do believe he has been charged, yeah.
So, but yeah, obviously we do not condone that sort of thing.
No, you know,
it's horrendous that...
you're in that position.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a privilege.
Absolutely, yeah. I think most people would agree that sort of thing should be treated with more reverence.
Yeah.
It's a general rule. So, you know, it's a poor form. Anonymous man who I won't name specifically, but just in case. You never know.
I couldn't imagine doing that. If you're in a position of trust like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not something that.
Blimey! What? For those who are listening, that I didn't. Nobody cursed. That was just that was a phone alert.
That was a text message from my brother.
Yeah.
I can only apologise for RT.
That's all right.
Chipping in there.
Right.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, I know someone put in the VIP page the other day saying that, you know, you think that most people would, you know, consider it, but I just, if you're not that way wired, it's just a really disrespectful, strange thing to do. I think it's very sad.
Yeah, agreed.
That people want to do that. But there.
Yes, that's really, really, really bad. I can't think of any superlatives. It's just
no, it's terrible.
None that can be beeped out.
Well, exactly. Yeah, obviously that puts more work for me in the edit. So
yeah,
already got my work cut out of me because I haven't been organised enough to take notes.
And you might have a couple of beeps to get out there as well.
No, this is it. I should be okay. I think the worst we've said is disrespectful, which is fine. And to be fair, we're right. It is. You just find yourself in the worst kind of awe, in a bad way. You know, I don't know what the equivalent is. You just find yourself in disbelief that somebody would sort of do that to a mate.
Yeah.
But
I suppose that in a way, it's kind of nice that we think that way, because if we didn't think that way, then that would say more about us in general.
Yeah, it's fine. We're not sitting there going, yeah, good on him. We all have a bit of that down the market. We.
Yeah. Who hasn't thought about ripping one of their mates off?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting to hear Jason talk about Snooper's Paradise in Brighton, because when I lived in Brighton, I used to live right around the corner from it. So it's weird to think that at some point I may have passed Toy Tony and I may have probably had a look through and gone, I haven't got any money. What am I doing? And walked off. So, you know, I can joke about it now, but at the time it was quite tough.
I have sold a Toy Tony.
You've sold two Toy Tony?
No, a Toy Tony. I got a few figures to sell on from a collector.
Oh, okay.
And he did tell me it was a Toy Tony. It was a Han Solo, I believe.
Oh, okay. Oh, so when you say a Toy Tony, you mean one that's been kind of through that process?
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to say tainted, because, I mean, ultimately, I suppose, especially listening to Jason talk about it, it seems to me like the problem is more transparency and honesty.
Yeah.
That he was sort of, you know, misrepresenting stuff. Actually, like Jeremy said, you know, that some of that stuff has value, still has value to people. People will still buy
that
stuff.
There are people that actually actively seek out this Toy Tony.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that he was so kind of shady about it all that sort of rankles people. I think if he'd just been honest and just said, you know, look at these are hilarious.
Yeah.
I think people would have been a lot more forgiving. But, you know, obviously that's not the most lucrative way of doing it, but certainly the most long-term sustainable. So, yeah, what else is what's the other big news in sort of toys and stuff? I mean, you've been, Mark, I've been noticing you kind of venting in the Facebook group, which you can find on Facebook by searching TSW Toy Box, by the way.
Yep.
I do this for a living, mate. It's all good. you've been venting about some of the sort of the Hasbro woes.
Oh,
what's for those who aren't in the group? What kind of what's going on there?
Distribution basically for the 40th anniversary figures.
Mm-hmm.
The distribution. What they do is they have cases. They have two of each figure, mm-hmm. which is Luke, Ben Kenobi, Princess Leia. But they have one Han Solo and one R2-D2.
Right.
So obviously, Han Solo, R2-D2, you can't get hold of them. I have not actually seen any in the shops yet.
No, I've don't think I've seen. I might have seen the ones, the first ones, the Luke and Leia that you mentioned. Maybe briefly in Forbidden Planet, but I don't think I've seen them again since.
Yeah, I've seen the Darth Vader in the early bird pack. Yeah, that's about it.
I've seen the early bird pack. Yeah,
yeah.
Which is a bit rich, really, considering that you don't have stock of the rest. But I'm not really sure how those things work. So I suppose I'm the worst person to least qualified to speak on them. So I have no idea what they're about.
So it's mainly in America.
Mm-hmm.
They have like pegs and pegs of Princess Leia's, Luke's, Ben Kenobi's. But then Hasbro decided to ship full packs, full cases of Princess Leia's.
To stores?
Yeah.
Even though they've already got pegs and pegs and pegs of them?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, didn't you think it would be better to send cases of Han Solo?
Or R2-D2 or even Luke?
So...
to start.
Don't seem to know what they're doing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Wave 2 is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the same.
Yeah.
I believe it's a Stormtrooper and his sand people that are short-packed.
Yeah.
So they will be, you'll be able to find those.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an unfortunate state of affairs. I mean, what's the solution, do you think? Is it just rethinking the distribution?
Yeah. I don't know why they do it. It's all the same with toy firms. Why short pack items that you know that you're going to sell?
Mm.
It's like the Darth Revan figure, the Black Series figure.
Yeah.
They've even taken it off the website.
Oh, is that Revan?
Yeah. It's gone completely. They could sell thousands and thousands of them.
Yeah.
It's licensed to print money. But
absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at it now, and I mean, it's licensed to print money for certain eBayers, but...
yeah.
Yeah, not as much as the one with the coin. That's even more ridiculous. But
you've got certain people on eBay. I've got six of them.
Yeah, of course, because they were, you know, they were lucky enough to get six of them, and then now they're like gold dust.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's two lightsabers. That's pretty cool. Sorry, I've got a bit sidetracked looking at the Darth reference. To be honest,
it is pretty cool.
It is rather good, isn't it?
I did get a case from America when I was in running the shop. You had the Ahsoka, the Kanan, Luke, but I've not seen another Ahsoka since.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I can't recall seeing anything like that.
No.
No.
You just don't see them in the shops.
Yeah, there's bits and pieces like the Black Series stuff. They have Forbidden Planet in London have Black Series stuff, but it's all kind of tucked away at the back of the shop in the back corner, and you don't want to. You know, you don't want to just walk around, help yourself and just have a look. But you also don't want to, you know, I don't particularly want to talk to them. That's not, that's made that sound horrible. I don't want to bother them. Let's go with that. But yeah,
I forgot, I did, you mentioned the Soko. I did remember that I've got a brother who frequents secondhand shops all the time. He loves them. Mm-hmm. And he got me a couple of those. I don't know if you saw the picture of the hardback books.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's Ahsoka and... can't remember what the other one was now. But yeah, he just turned up every now and again and said, oh, I saw these books in secondhand in the charity shop. You can have them. I just tend to get random books off him, which I'm always pleased about.
Nice.
I like.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like collecting them, but I find some of the books dull, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Some of them are a bit hard to read.
Yeah.
I haven't tried either of those two yet, but I know Mark doesn't like the Chuck Wendig one either, does he?
Mm. I mean, I'm kind of... I like the stories he tells, but I'm not particularly... He writes in present tense, which I find weird.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that style.
I am actually reading Thrawn at the moment.
Oh, the Zahn, the new Zahn.
Oh, that is amazing.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I've heard mixed things. I have to give it a
test to check it out.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
It's going to turn into TSW Toy Box and Book Box. TSW Bookshelf as well.
I'll start talking about comics, but I better not do.
Oh, no. I think we get sued then, don't we?
Probably.
Even though it's part, you know, we're all part of the same family.
We'll be getting a letter from Disney.
There's still a bit of a banter rivalry, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so is there anything you guys are looking forward to sort of coming out, or that you've got your eye on in the next thing? So it feels like we're kind of, you know, we've got a good amount of stuff we've picked up. So is there anything on the horizon for you guys that you've got in mind for next?
I'm still after me Admiral Ackbar Love's figure.
Okay.
That'll complete me 79. First 79.
Oh, wow, okay.
I still need 10 for the last 17, though.
Oh, okay, so you're still working on
it. They're going to cost me.
Yeah.
But I'll be glad to get that Admiral Ackbar.
Yeah. Jeremy, what about you, mate? We lost Jeremy. Jeremy?
Jeremy.
I'm just going to keep yelling his name until he comes back.
Jeremy!
So, I'll tell you what, while he's finding his way back, we'll... Let's talk a bit more about this Admiral Ackbar. So which set is this from?
It's the loose one.
Loose, is it the 82?
Yeah.
Yeah.
82, okay.
With the pointy stick.
The pointy stick?
Yeah.
Just got a link for you there.
Right.
Two hours left. With stick.
Oh, nice.
Yep. There you go.
Smile back, I'm back. Oh, it don't matter. As long as it's not a repro stick. I'll be on that.
Oh, hang on. So I've got another one here. And it looks vaguely different, the stick. It might just be my eyes playing tricks on me. Do you get much use out of the job lot items and weapons and such?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a job lot of weapons last week.
Yeah.
Most of them were repro.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't keep them for...
just completing sort of...
Just to make sure I know what the replo looks like.
Yeah.
Got some of the capes. I got a Jabba cape.
Hello, Jeremy. So we lost Jeremy briefly in the background there.
I broke the internet.
That's all right, mate. It happens. Happens to the best of us. It happened to me the other day, so that's how I know. So we're talking about... So Mark's in the market for an Admiral Ackbar vintage figure. I've just sent him a link to one, and I was just—I've gone down the rabbit hole now. I'm looking at. I see loads of job lots of weapons, and
you mustn't step away from eBay.
Yeah, I'm trying my best, but you know, it's very alluring. I'll tell you what, Jeremy. What about you? What are you looking? You got anything you're kind of,
Vintage wise, anything that I haven't already got. I also am listening to Mr. Palatoy talking about the diecast models. I remember having all of the diecast models, and they were things of beauty. And when I think it was you and I, when I first started collecting a year or so ago, you got me into this. One of the things I was thinking of was getting, you know, little vintage Millennium Falcon and stuff like that. So I'd like to start getting a few of the little ones. But it's sneaking them in past the mitten. She thinks I'm mad.
Yeah.
Yes. Collecting these things. She thinks I'm completely barking mad because I'm a grown up person collecting toys. So there's a conflict of interest. Much as I want to go out and spend, you know, my money on the vintage things, I kind of have to find a way of justifying it. So
yeah.
I have to have a good day at work and say, I've earned this much money today. Can I have a toy, please? That's all I have to do.
Yeah, so that's good system.
When I first did it, I had my shop up and running, and I was buying my vintage stuff and set decoration for the shop, and I managed to get that past the accountant and say, look, these are things I'm putting in the shop, and it's a carpet shop, obviously you need Star Wars things there. But so people come in and they engage with me and they talk and say, oh, I had that figure or that craft, and that seemed to go all right, but yeah. clearly not quite some understanding. So
right,
I have to be a bit careful. But that and the Lego, I mean, luckily I've got Freddy, so I can, the modern stuff, I could just buy that and go, it's for Freddy, it's not for me, it's Freddy, it's not mine.
Yeah.
And then it just appears in my collection at some point.
Mm.
But if, I mean, vintage ones, I've got a few craft that I've bought that I'd like to clean up. I've got an AT-AT that's complete, but that looks a bit beaten up. I'd like to give that a bit of a clean up, so maybe I could do another thing about that. But, you know, we've got to build the Lego things we've got before I can justify getting anything else, the backlog.
Yeah, nice. So I've got one in particular that I'm kind of eyeing up, which I'm very tempted by. It's the 6-inch, it's not a vintage one, but it's the 6-inch Black Series Director Krennic.
Oh, you would want that, though. Oh,
of course I would. You know, I don't have any. Well, I don't have any Black Series items, and it feels like he would be a good kind of, you know, a fitting start if I ever wanted to start a collection.
Do you have like a Krennic corner where you've just got all your
Krennic things?
Nothing like nothing so, you know, nothing so creepy, frankly. no, I just, you know, I'm just a fan. That's all. I just like him. I think he's a really, you know, a really cool villain.
Have you seen the Disney Star Elite series?
Yes. So the die-cast ones, or the sort of the doll.
The doll one, the deluxe one, £15.
They're really, the prices are really good on them.
Yeah.
I did inquire about whether or not, because they've got the, so for those who aren't familiar, the Disney Store have what's called the Elite series, which is either a sort of 12-inch doll or a 6-inch die-cast figure. And they have, this is the annoying thing, in the die-cast range, they have almost everybody from Rogue One. Guess who's missing? And I know this because I asked the bloke. He's very helpful. He was in Westfield Stratford. So if you're listening, managers of Westfield Stratford, there's a fella who works there. He's really nice. So be nice to him, whoever he is. I didn't catch his name, unfortunately. I feel terrible now. I could have been the difference between him and a pay rise, couldn't I? But they do. They don't do the Krennic in the 6-inch die-cast, but they do have the 12-inch doll figures. The only thing with that is, I don't really have the space for the 6-inch, so the 12-inch is even less of a, you know, less of a likely proposition. Sadly, 6-inch seems to be my limit as far as what I can stretch to.
Oh my!
Oh, hoisted by my own petard.
We've both been sitting there, I think, waiting for you to say something like that.
Hoisted by my own.
We can admire you.
Hoisted by my own decay. Yeah. But that's the main one. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, obviously I'm looking at other collectible stuff outside Star Wars, but that's the main ones in terms of Star Wars stuff. Although I do want some of the more of the bits from the Imperial Assault game, the tabletop game.
Yeah.
Mm. Plus, they're doing a big box expansion for the Star Wars Rebellion board game, which has been sort of uncharacteristically unloved by Fantasy Flight up until now, but now we know why that is. It's because rather than release little expansions like they do for X-Wing and Imperial Assault and all that, they're actually releasing a full big box expansion, which is called, I want to say it's the Birth of Rebellion or something like that. Rebellion expansion. It's called Rise of the Empire. There we go.
Wow.
So the base game is set in the Civil War, which sort of, you know, New Hope to Jedi era. And then Rise of the Empire is a Rogue One centric expansion, which does sort of adds characters like the crew of, you know, the crew of the Rogue One crew, Director Krennic, some different items like, you know, some of the sort of Nebulon B frigates and TIE Strikers, U-Wings, stuff like that. And it looks pretty bloody special, if I'm honest. I'm not sure what the release date is on that. I think it's our third quarter, so I guess they're doing financial year, in which case it'll probably be October to January, somewhere in there. Maybe that's my Christmas list sorted.
Yes,
otherwise, I mean, X-Wing-wise, I've got all the ships I want. Imperial Assault-wise, I'm not even sure what I can get. Although I've heard rumblings that the Emperor is making his way to Imperial Assault.
Oh,
but then I would feel like at that point, that's kind of the limit, isn't it? If you beat the, if you release the Emperor, that's it. Surely you're going to be, you know, at that point you'll release, you've released all the characters you're going to think, because he's like the top of the Empire, so it doesn't get much better than that. I don't really see how, where you go from there. Maybe you print a second edition and get money otherwise. There's already rumblings about that, because a lot of their, so Fantasy Flight, the publisher, a lot of their games are getting reprints with app-driven sort of accompaniment. So Mansions of Madness, Descent, all that stuff is being reprinted with a heavy emphasis on getting the free companion apps. And the idea is they tell you when to put, you know, when they tell you to put tiles down, they tell you what to put down and where to put it. So you don't have to do the preamble setup at the beginning of the game. So it cuts down the setup at the beginning and speeds the game right up.
Okay.
So they've released a couple of other ones, but the rumbling is that Imperial Assault was off the table because, well, I don't know what the actual reason was, but I heard a rumor that it was because EA have the license for Star Wars related game content on mobile devices. So I'm guessing that if that's true, and it's now being, there's talk of it now being released, it may be that they've come to some sort of agreement. So who knows? Otherwise, the only other thing I've got my eye on is there's a really nice Cloud City Darth Vader statue that really beautiful, and it makes me, it's a Kotobukiya, they're called, they're just basically sort of artifacts scale figures.
All right.
Yeah, and it's just stunning. It's just really beautifully detailed. I will send you a link because I think it needs to be seen. There we go. But that's they run at a sort of 50 or so pounds, so
yeah,
you know, it's intriguing, I'll say that. But there's some really nice stuff in the realm of statues. They've got like samurai variants and original Ralph Macquarie, so they make things based on their Ralph Macquarie concept designs, that sort of thing. There's some really nice stuff. I'll take some pictures sometime next time I'm passing Forbidden Planet. Get some shots.
I've never been to the Facebook Planet.
Oh, Jeremy, we need to fix this, mate. Oh, you would love it. You'd love every second of it.
I'm terrified.
I can protect you. I'm not as bad of an enabler as I'm made to sound by some.
I'd love to. I'd love to go. I really would. I think there's one at Bluewater now, and there are some all that way, I think.
I don't know. There's some. I know when I was passing through. So when we went to our identities meetup, we did me and Joe Crouch. He again still is no slouch. We went back through Westfields on the way back to the train, and we were able to sort of look in the window of a few places. And there's this brand new geek shop in Westfields. It looked pretty expensive from what I could see, so that's a shame. But on the other hand, it's quite nice because it's quite expensive, so it puts me off buying stuff, which is, you know, obviously an unexpected side effect, which they probably didn't plan for, but I'll quite happily take.
Yeah, I find I have a problem. If I go in like Smith's or whatever and they reduce their Funkos, they reduce Funkos to a fiver.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, they're only a fiver. I better buy all of the ones I want now.
I better buy all of them.
I never spend a lot more money than if I've gone in there a tenner and go, you know what, I like that Luke, I'll buy that Luke for a tenner and then I'm done. But now I'll do like four for a five, I better get them all. Because I'm an idiot.
Nah, I'm right there with you, mate. I do the same whenever there's a... That's why they do it, isn't it? You know, whenever there's a sale on, that's what you do. You buy it up, and that's the idea. That's why they reduce it.
Right.
Cool. All right. So I think that's us wrapped up for this edition of the TSW Toy Box. So guys, this is your opportunity to plug your various social media outlets. The floor is yours. Whoever wants it first should have thought that through.
I'll go first.
I let Mark. Right,
TSW Toy Box on Facebook.
Yep, that's our group.
Posting every day, almost. Mm-hmm. And Blue Harvest UK on Twitter.
Blue Harvest UK on Twitter, nice. And obviously you've got the TSW Toy Run audio podcast on TalkStarWars.co.uk, which are jolly fun.
Yes.
And you've also done a solo toy box in the absence of the rest of us. But you handled it very well. I was very, you know, I think you did an excellent job.
Oh, thank you.
It's nice to know it's nice to know in a pinch that can be done. I wouldn't have been able to do it, mate, so yeah.
Yeah.
I really wish the guys were here for it. Yeah. I mean, me just for 20 minutes going, I really wish the guys were here.
Oh yeah, I also want to give away the Darth Vader. The vintage Darth Vader.
Vintage Darth Vader. Okay, great stuff. So did you want to do it on the show or did you want to do it in the group?
I'll do it on the show.
Yeah, all right.
And get people to listen.
Yeah.
The question for the vintage Darth Vader is, what was Dave Prowse's or Darth Vader's stunt double? What was his name?
Okay. All right. So what was Dave Prowse, or who played the role of, there you go, who filled the role of Dave Prowse? This is stunt double.
Because
is this for the same person for all three films?
Yeah, yes, it is. Okay. What happened was Dave Prowse, when he was auditioned, he said he could fence.
Yes,
and he couldn't.
This. Yeah.
So this guy had to do the lightsaber
fight
for him.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So to win a vintage Darth Vader, who filled the role of Dave Prowse's stunt double during the original Star Wars trilogy? Excellent. Okay, so we need to set a closing date on that, right? When do you want to do that for?
What, the 1st of July?
1st of July. Okay, that's no problem. We can get the word out by then.
Andy Smith won the
on social media as well, obviously.
Jedi Luke.
Yes, you gave away Jedi Luke. That went to a loving home.
It certainly did.
Yeah. So if you want to become part of the TSW Toy Box competition, then you can email us at talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com with the subject line Toy Box or TSW Toy Box. Both will find its way to us. And if you want to win a vintage Darth Vader, answer the question of who filled the role of Dave Prowse's stunt double during the original Star Wars trilogy. Cool. So, Jeremy, how about you, mate? Social media, how about it?
Social media, you would normally find me insulting things and people on the Talk Star Wars VIP page.
Okay.
A lot. Yep. But also, I'm Jeremy at Talk Star Wars on Twitter.
You're Rowling, is it Rowling Jeremy on Twitter, your actual at name, where people can find
you?
You can search Talk Star Wars on Twitter and you'll find Jeremy. You find Jeremy. You can find others as well, but, you know, Jeremy first. So that's you guys. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision. And obviously find everything we all do toy related in the TSW Toy Box Facebook group, which you can join by finding it on Facebook and just sending us a message, and we'll gladly add you into our burgeoning community, which seems to be getting larger every week.
So it is.
Yep. And as I say, you can email any competition entries, or if you just have questions for the show, want to know more about your esteemed collectors, then you can email us at talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com with the subject line either Toy Box or TSW Toy Box. And like I say, both will find their way our way. Am I missing anything?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, well, obviously you can go to talkstarwars.co.uk. You can go to Talk Star Wars Facebook page. You can find out, as Jeremy mentioned, about becoming a TSW VIP at talkstarwars.co.uk/support, where you can get episodes like this first. So they'll get it shortly before your good selves. If you're not a VIP, if you're a VIP, you've already got it. So, you know, everybody's happy. So if you want to become a TSW VIP, support our network and, give us more opportunity to expand our programming, talkstarwars.co.uk/support is where you can do that. And as I say, the main thing that obviously is best about it is us, the TSW Toy Box. There's no rivalry. I just like saying it. Cool. All right. Thanks for your time today, guys.
Thank you.
It's a wrap.
May the toys be with you.